kid, I loved to read. Dr. Seuss led to Encyclopedia Brown. Pippi Longstocking led to Black Beauty. Stuart Little and Trumpet of the Swan led to Nancy Drew mysteries. Children's Bible stories led to Chronicles of Narnia. Phantom Tollbooth to Agatha Christie mysteries. As school got harder, there was less time to read my own books and more was needed for required books like Watership Down, Fahrenheit 451, Grapes of Wrath, Scarlet Letter, and Beowulf. Reading has been a way of expanding my horizons beyond my own family, of stretching my imagination. Floods and arcs and animals two by two, censorship and book burning, ancient worlds, galaxies far, far away. Mysteries solved and lessons in tiny bits about the realities of class and race and discrimination. My college required students to take 3 classes on religion and 3 in philosophy in addition to the requirements for my music therapy degree, which were many. There was precious little time for reading for enjoyment, so this often happened during summer break. My spiritual path began to unfold in earnest as new friends introduced me to Richard Bach's Illusions and Dan Millman's Way of the Peaceful Warrior. I was beginning to develop a vocabulary to talk about what I was sensing and feeling. I took a world religions class that opened my heart and my mind, confirming what I sensed even then to be true, that there are multiple paths to enlightenment, to truth, to one another, to the holy Allah, Yahweh, Wankantanka, Goddess, Sitaram, God, Jesus, Shekinah, oneness, to the love that holds us all. I began to learn about the people and the histories and the tragic mistakes that led to killing one another allegedly in the name of their God. I thought that if we could just find a way to honor one another's beliefs about the divine, about how to live an ethical life, about how to worship in our own ways and serve the community, that war would cease. Eventually, finding my way to Unitarian Universalism, I was so relieved that I was not expected to believe exactly what others believed, that I was responsible for figuring that out on my own as well as within community. I took lots of and even led a few adult faith development classes at the First Unitarian Universalist Church of San Diego. We had family camps and retreats at DeBeneville Pines Camp and Conference Center. We had racism, anti-racism trainings, anti-oppression. As a young adult in my early 20s, I had a lot of energy and curiosity. I volunteered for a lot of committees and projects and groups. My full participation was welcomed. My leadership was nurtured. I was welcomed, all of me. One of the particular ways, oh, now you're going backwards. Tom, you did warn me about this. One of the particular ways my spiritual needs were met, in addition to worship on Sunday mornings, was being part of the Earth-centered spirituality circle. We crafted rituals of deep meaning, celebrating the circle of life, striving ever more fully to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. There were pagans, Wiccans, Native American, Indigenous, and queer folks coming together to honor the earth in many ways. 3 of the beloveds from that circle are now among the ancestors. Debbie Fidler introduced me to the phenomenon, strength, and power of women's music. Charlene and Suzanne were Amazon goddesses in some ways to me. They fully embodied the element of north, strong and deep, present like a mountain. They were all older than me. They helped me on more than one occasion during a breakup, and I learned a lot from them. Most of my friends then were older than me. The 4 of us were also part of GLOW, Gay Lesbian Outreach Committee. We hadn't added the B or T or Q yet, and from the awful article in UU World this month and the wise responses from Transkin on Facebook and blogs, we still haven't. You might read the articles and apologies from the UU world. Reading helps us learn about one another's stories, about expanding our horizons. I was also one of the youngest participants in GLOW, and many of those folks have also joined the ancestors. Last fall, when my friend Suzanne died, I started to really think of the people that I miss from San Diego, those alive as well as those who've passed into the mystery we call death. I started really thinking about the fact that I've reached something called middle age. Even if sometimes I still sense the 20-something inside me, can I get an amen? And for you 20-somethings in the room, perhaps you remember an earlier time. And I started thinking about all the people that have made it possible for me to be here. Now, my biological kin, of course, and then all the people that made the San Diego congregation possible to thrive, who shaped the experiences I had, who sent me towards ministry and gave me this stole for my ordination. The mentors of many different identities who inspired me and who still accompany me on my journey. And I started thinking that maybe it's becoming my turn to mentor younger queer folks and genderqueer and trans folks. And I thought about this place and how many folks have come before us, some of whom are pictured behind me, these placards from the centennial celebration. Since 1901, people have generously given to this congregation and handed it on to the next generation of churchgoers to be good stewards to carry it on for those who would come next. We, all of us here, have been entrusted to help the congregation thrive, to welcome more people who need this life-affirming faith. It's our turn. We have the opportunity to care for one another and this congregation through serving on teams and committees, the board, teaching in religious education, volunteering, and by being generous with our financial gifts. We have, through our principles and our sources, the blessing of inclusion built right into our faith. But we need to practice it. At this moment in history, I think about all the broken-hearted people in the United Methodist Church who now know definitively that they are not welcome to stay because of who they love. And it breaks my heart, too. I think about all the United Methodists who do not want their TLGBTQ siblings to leave, including my brother, a United Methodist minister in Alaska. He's wondering whether he wants to be a United Methodist minister anymore. He sent me a link to the video of the service he led last week. Using the language and imagery of his Christian identity, he told his congregation he needs a break from a denomination that continues to cause pain and suffering to his beloved parishioners, beloved friends, and beloved family. There's no resemblance, is there? Last Sunday, he preached to his congregation, who he clearly loves. He said, "As we enter into this season of Lent together, for a season of time," and he pulled down the collar of his sweatshirt because it was Camp Sunday, "I am laying down my collar, a symbol that reminds me that I am a servant of God under the appointment of the bishops in the United Methodist Church. For a season of time, I am laying down my stole, the yoke that was placed upon me at my ordination by an elder in the United Methodist Church, authorizing me to celebrate communion and baptism." He said, "As I fast from these symbols of a denomination that insists on playing king of the mountain instead of sharing the mountain, I remember that my authority to be your pastor, my calling to preside at communion and baptisms and weddings and funerals, comes not from a denomination, but from God Almighty." He continues, "So today I am standing back up at the bottom of the mountain. I am dusting myself off. I am picking up my cross and throwing in my lot with those who have been knocked down and threatened and mistreated all of their out lives. I am willing to say to those who threaten to bring me up on charges, come and get me. Come and get me. He says, because I can't think of better company than I want to be with. That's my encouragement for all of us here at St. John as we enter this season of Lent together, this season of repentance and cross-bearing. I invite you to join me in naming your own cross and picking it up, whatever it might cost you. Together, we will climb the mountain once more, no matter how many times we are pushed down, no matter how many times we are kicked, spat upon, derided. Together, we will proclaim loudly the gospel of love and inclusion, the gospel of grace and forgiveness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Savior of all people. Amen and amen. Now, I am not a Christian. I am a Unitarian Universalist. There are Christians who are both. I do not resonate with Jesus as being Lord and Savior. Many of us have been hurt by or rejected by Christians, myself included. But my Unitarian Universalist living tradition draws from many sources, including Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. I have needed to do some personal work to quell my allergies to Christianity, to heal the wounds inflicted upon me by those who call themselves Christians. Many years ago, I joined a gospel choir because I am drawn to the faithful expression of love through music, even as the theology was not mine. So too am I drawn to my brother's clarity and power of his faith as he seeks to serve Jesus as he understands it to be. This faith draws from many sources. Christian and Jewish teachings which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. And I love my brother. He is willing to live his faith, to respond to God's love no matter the cost. That is the kind of Christianity I can relate to, that I can be inspired by. And we have United Methodist kin right here in Schenectady who are also hurting. Lynn and I hope that you will stop by the table in the back and sign one of the cards that we will send to Reverend Sarah Barron and her congregation, offering our care and compassion and love as they grieve and grapple with what to do next. One of our other sources is humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against the idolatries of the mind and spirit. Or in the words of Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, who says, our heritage rejects authoritarian religion and its negative view of human beings. Our forebears claimed a more positive view. They said we were born with capacities for good and evil and possess a whole array of gifts and abilities. Our power can be used in the service of all sorts of values, but the choice is in our hands. To practice this Unitarian Universalist religion, we need to open our hearts and to open this circle. Universalist Edwin Markham's familiar lines, which inspired this very circle. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. Love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. To practice our faith, we need to make room. Because we have room in this circle. We have room in this circle for God. We have room in this circle for the essence of humanity. We have room in this circle for Allah. We have room in this circle for transcending mystery and wonder. We have room for Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon them. We have room in this circle for nature and science and philosophy. We have room for Ta-Nehisi Coates and Maxine Waters and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We have room for Karamo Brown and Lena Waithe and Laverne Cox. We have room for Jackie Chan and Dev Patel and Nora Jones. We have room for you. And you. And you. Ben, qual eres Ben, come, whoever you are, Rumi said. Ours is no caravan of despair, though you have broken your vows 1,000 times. Come, yet again, come. So let us not limit our spiritual growth, but rather draw wisdom from the many sources of our faith, including our own Universalist and our own Unitarian heritage. Many windows, one light. Many waters, one sea. All lifted hearts are free. May it ever be so. Salam, shalom, ashe, aho, namaste, amen, and blessed be.